Chapter 39. The smell was more sweet than rank, at least to Savang La, whose limb was the one rotting. The rawdank leg with which the shapers had replaced his arm was overbonding to his elbow. The aggressive linking cells attacking and killing his own tissue well above the amputation point. Scales and spines were already emerging as high up as his swollen biceps, and above that his arms swarmed with the diptera maggots, seeded by the shapers to eat away his dying flesh. If the alteration stopped at his shoulder, he would be accorded the respect of one who had sacrificed much and risked more in his devotion to the gods. If it continued on to his torso proper, or he lost the arm itself, he would be excused from his duties and shunned by his caste as a shamed one, disfigured by the gods as a sign of their displeasure. Savang La suspected that where the alteration stopped would depend on how long he allowed the loss of his Risi fleet to delay the capture of Coruscant, and that, in turn, depended on how long it required Numanor and Vergir to capture the Solo twins. With half his assault force now gone, and the possibility, no, likelihood, that the Jedi had captured a live Yamask, he did not dare attack until he had secured the blessing of the gods. His mind made up, the War Master grasped a villip resting beside him and began to tickle it awake. Though he was sitting naked in the purifying steams of his private cleansing well, Savang La did not bother to cover himself. The villip in his servant's possession would show only a head. After an irritating wait of nearly a minute, the villip reverted into the likeness of a huffing gnome Anor. Giving the executor no opportunity to apologize for making him wait, Savang La scowled. "I trust you are chasing the Jedi, Numanor, and not fleeing them." "Never," the executor assured him. "Even as we speak, I am leading the Kastar's Two Scourge in pursuit."
"Will you catch them?"
"Yes," Numanor said. "We are taking casualties, but Three Scourge is waiting in ambush at the end of this transit. There is no escape this time." The casualties did not interest Savang La. He had already heard how many vessels the Jedi had destroyed above Mirkur, and how they had slain the Kastar's first company, One Scourge, to a warrior, and he would have considered twice the losses insignificant. "You will not harm the twin Solos." It had to be the fourth or fifth time Savang La had given the order, but now more than ever he wanted Numanor to understand. "Your warriors understand the fate awaiting the one who kills either of them?"
"As I do, War Master," Numanor said. "The twins are forbidden targets. I have also commanded Yal Fath to have his own troops stand off, though he bristles at my authority. It would be wise of you to underscore the order."
"As you suggest," Savang La agreed, ignoring for the moment his servant's audacity in telling him what to do. "I need those sacrifices, Numanor. Our situation is deteriorating while I wait for you."
"You will not need to wait much longer, War Master," Numanor promised. "My plan is an excellent one."
"That would be healthy for you," Savang La warned. "I expect to hear from you soon." He pressed his thumb into the villip's cheek, causing it to break contact and invert. The War Master set this one aside and picked up Vicky Shesh's, considering whether the time had come to expend this particular asset. Since her removal from the New Republic's Military Oversight Committee, she had been working doubly hard to prove her usefulness to the Yuuzhan Vong. Less out of greed or power lust, Savang La thought, than a simple thirst for vengeance. Such weapons tended to be very explosive, which could be good or bad, depending on when they were detonated. The steam cell door spiraled open behind him, admitting a cool draft that wafted pleasantly across his naked back. Without turning around, he snapped,
"Did I not say I was cleansing? How dare you disturb me?"
"My life in payment, War Master." The voice belonged to Sif, his female communications assistant. But the choice was not mine. Lord Shimmer's Villip has averted. Not bothering to cover himself, Sabong La stood and turned, already reaching for the kufi Sif held ready for him. Except in circumstances involving breeding, it was forbidden for a subordinate to look upon his naked body and live. But when he saw her eyes flickering away from the suppurating flesh above his graft, he left the weapon in her hand. If he killed her now, the gods might well believe that he was simply trying to keep the condition of his arm a secret. Sabong La studied the communications officer a moment, pushed the kufi away and narrowed his eyes in a way that left no doubt about his intentions. "You will prepare yourself."
"Yes, Sir Master."
Her face betraying no hint of whether she considered this a better fate than death, Sif returned the kufi to its sheath and inclined her head.
"I will await you in your chamber."
After she stepped aside, Sabong La left his steam cell and draped a cloak over his shoulder hooks, taking care to keep the sleeve well above his elbow so that the condition of his graft would be visible to all. He found Lord Shimmer's Villip set out on the table, its features cloaked in obscurity beneath the cow-like protrusion of an epidermal mane. The Warmaster touched his breast in salute and placed his palm and new talon on the table in front of the Villip, then pressed his forehead to the back of his hands. "Supreme One," he said, "forgive the delay. I was cleansing."
"The gods value the pure."
Shimra's voice was a wispy rumble.
"But also the triumphant. What of this fleet you lost?"
"The gods have reason to be displeased. The loss was total. 6 clusters.
"An expensive feint, my servant."
Sabong La's throat went dry. "Supreme One, it was no—"
"I am sure your plan warrants the sacrifice,"
Shimmer said, cutting him off.
"That is not why we are speaking."
"Indeed." Sabong did not try to correct Shimmer. If the Supreme Overlord declared the fleet's loss a feint, then it was so. The Warmaster's mind leapt immediately to the problem of shattering Coruscant's formidable defenses with only a single-pronged attack. Perhaps a variation of the mind-sweeping moon he had intended to use at Borlias, or something involving refugee ships. Refugee ships would be good. The furor over the hostages at Talfalio had proven how vulnerable to such techniques the New Republic really was. As the rough outline of an idea began to take shape in the Warmaster's mind, he said, "I assure you my plan is an excellent one, Supreme One. But I am honored to speak with you regarding any matter." Before continuing, Shimmer hesitated just long enough to express his displeasure without speaking it, then said,
"The success of your new grafting is in doubt."
"It is so," Sabong La answered. He did not ask, even of himself, how Lord Shimmer knew of his troubles with the Rodank leg. "I fear my arm may have offended the gods."
"It is not your arm, my servant. I saw nothing of that."
Sabong La remained quiet, desperately trying to work out in his own mind whether Shimmer's vision was the reason they were speaking, or merely the excuse.
"It is the twins, my servant,"
Shimmer said.
"The gods will give us Coruscant, and you will give them these twins."
"It will be so, Supreme One," Sabong La said. "Even now, my servants are running them to ground."
"You are certain?"
Shimmer asked.
"The gods will not be disappointed again."
"My servants assure me their plan is an excellent one." It did not escape Sabong La's notice that Nomanor's words had been much the same as his own to Lord Shimmer. "There is no escape."
"Let it be so."
Shirma was silent for a moment, then said, "See and be seen, my servant."
Savang raised his head, but said nothing. He had been invited to look, not speak.
"Know this, Savang La," Shirma said, "in allowing your Vilip tender to live, you have kept for yourself one who should belong to the gods."
Savang La went cold inside. "Supreme One, this is so. But it was not my intention. It pleases the gods to let you keep her. Do not insult them by explaining what they know."
Shimra's Vilip began to invert. "Use her well, my servant. All things are forgiven in victory."